Morning, church. It is time to listen to the voice of God through Psalm chapters 145, verses 1 through 10. Let us listen to the word. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty act. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works. And I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
On this World Communion Sunday, I have invited our associate pastor, the Reverend Jisun Nam, who is a native of South Korea, to read the New Testament lessons in her native language. They will be on the screen in English as you now hear the Word of God.
Today's New Testament lesson is from Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 to 29. 믿음이 오기 전에 우리는 율법 아래 매인바되고 계시될 믿음의 때까지 갇혔느니라. 이같이 율법이 우리를 그리스도께로 인도하는 초등교사가 되어 우리로 하여금 믿음으로 말미암아 의롭다 함을 얻게 하려 함이라. 믿음이 온 후로는 우리가 초등교사 아래에 있지 아니하도다. 너희가 다 믿음으로 말미암아 그리스도 예수 안에서 하나님의 아들이 되었으니 누구든지 그리스도와 합하기 위하여 세례를 받은 자는 그리스도로 옷 입었느니라. 너희는 유대인이나 헬라인이나 종이나 자유인이나 남자나 여자나 다 그리스도 예수 안에서 하나이니라. 너희가 그리스도의 것이면 곧 아브라함의 자손이요 약속대로 유업을 이을 자니라. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. We have another New Testament lesson, which is coming from John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. 하나님이 세상을 이처럼 사랑하사 독생자를 주셨으니 이는 저를 믿는 자마다 멸망치 않고 영생을 얻게 하려 하심이니라. 하나님이 그 아들을 세상에 보내신 것은 세상을 심판하려 하심이 아니요 저로 말미암아 세상이 구원을 받게 하려 하심이라. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
The World Series is coming. I'm a baseball fan. Many of you are baseball fans. The World Series is coming. Although it's somewhat strange that it's called a World Series, there are 30 teams in Major League Baseball. 29 are in the United States. One is in Canada. But we call it the World Series. Now, it's not uncommon for people to think that they're the center of the world. It's called by anthropologists ethnocentrism. So maybe it's not the World Series, but we like to think of it. Derek likes to think in a similar way. Derek likes to think that you mean the world doesn't revolve around me? I'm telling my mommy. Anthropologists don't call that ethnocentrism. They call that being a baby. And the poster that you now see, it's not the universe, it's God's universe, is a stark reminder of the tendency we all have to be ethnocentric, to think that we are the center of the world. Today, we expand our horizons and do what God would want us to do, and that is consider the world that God made. We do this on World Communion Sunday when Christians from around the world will gather at the table, as will we, though the form may be different. Still, it is a significant moment in the life of the church when we affirm that we are brothers and sisters together with all Christians everywhere, and that together we are the capital C Church. This emphasis is based on one absolute truth, that God created the world. I assume you believe that. And a second truth like unto it, that God loves the world that God created. I assume you believe that as well. And any parent among us will understand this. Because if you are privileged to be the parent of a child for whom you have created and given into this world, you know that there is nothing that would stop you from loving that child, no matter how bad it gets. Once a mother went to a counselor. She was having all kinds of trouble being a parent. Parenting was driving her crazy, so she went to this counselor. And she put forth the litany of complaints. My children don't obey me. They don't listen to me. They don't respect me. They don't do what I ask of me. And on it went. After a while, when she took a breath, the counselor said, "So why do you love your children?" It took her aback. And then she said, "Well, they're mine. They're mine." So it is with God. We belong to God. God loves the world that God made. We think today about this world that God loves. And we affirm some things about it that are very important to remember. The first thing we affirm is that God loves this world that God made because God made a diverse world. God made this world with such incredible diversity that it is almost overwhelming. In the natural world, we can note that there are 28,000 species of fish. I've only caught a few, but I'm out there trying to get more. 28,000 species of fish. There are 17,500 species of butterflies. There are 12,000 species of ants. You love ants. There are 900,000 different kinds of insects in the world, 1,400 species of bats, and if you like penguins, pay attention, there's 18 species just of penguins that God created. And God saw all that God made and said, "It is good." Yes. And then God created people, the crown of creation. And likewise, God created this wonderful diversity of people. No two people in the world are alike. And God created many different cultures and colors and personalities. God created each of us differently, and we gravitate to different types of people, and sometimes we gravitate to similar kinds, but we are all very different. Different languages, different lifestyles, different cultures, different food, different habits, all unique. Just look at your finger and know that your fingerprint identifies you as completely different from anyone else. And that's by God's doing and God's intent. And in the church, likewise, we are blessed to be a part of a diverse church around the world. We start here. This is what most of us know most of the time. And so in this place, there we are in Trinity's Sanctuary, Hackettstown, New Jersey. But the world is a large place, and so we can go to Xinjiang, China, and there know that there are people worshiping differently than us, but looking at the same Bible, worshiping the same God. The Chinese people that you see in this picture are actually in a secret place worshiping, because in that country, to be a Christian, it is illegal. But the world is a large place. And so I was privileged once to be in Stavanger, Norway. Christians there sometimes worship in a church that looks like a Viking ship, because that's a part of their culture. And there is one such stave church. But the world is a large and different and diverse place for the church. And so in Arequipa, Peru, there are people who worship outdoors in an evangelical service. And the joy and intensity of their faith is so incredible as they worship God. The world is a large and diverse place in Rampur, India, a nation where Christians are faithful in ways that we can barely imagine. In India, they worship together, often outdoors. And finally, in Nairobi, Kenya, in Africa, where Christianity is booming, they worship in a humble church, simply made of corrugated steel. The church is diverse around the world, and all of us are brothers and sisters together in it. And Paul made a special point of letting the church know that when you are a part of this body of Christ, there can be no division. Hear that. There can be no division, for we are one in Christ. He writes, "In Christ you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ, and you have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male nor female. You are one in Christ Jesus." That unity of faith centers us. I am so pleased that Trinity Church just yesterday began a new relationship with a congregation of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, a Spanish-speaking congregation, which is just starting up, and they're going to be using Trinity House on their Sabbath, Saturday mornings, and that we can have an opportunity to support them and encourage them. Brothers and sisters in Christ of another culture and language, but much the same. So it is. God created a diverse church and a diverse world. And that's why there can never, from a Christian mind or voice or action, there can never be anything that diminishes or demeans or puts down any other soul in the church or beyond. That's why sin is what racism is, because it breaks the bond of unity. Racism is a sin. We are a part of a diverse world. God created it, and we celebrate it. Another thing about the world that God created is that God created this lovable world. God thinks of this world as a lovable world. And that can be hard for us to affirm because it's so common. It's almost part of our thinking and culture to go around saying, oh, the world's a mess. The world's, as they say, going to hell in a handbasket. And we look and see all the problems and crises. Screens everywhere, newspapers everywhere seem to tell us nothing but how bad this world is. And you feel it. And you sometimes experience it. And yes, some of that is real, but it is certainly counterbalanced and much outweighed by the fact that this world that God created is a lovable world by God's design. Some see the terrible things that are going on right now as signs of the end of time, the apocalypse. Well, I don't know about that. I do know Jesus said it's not for you to know when that's going to be. But I also know that if I open my eyes and you open your eyes and look far further than what is just before you, you will increasingly see the goodness of God in a lovable world, this world that God created. Jesus died for that world. God so loved the world because the world is lovable. And that includes you. Once there was a woman who reflected on her childhood when she had polio, a great and terrible disease that crippled many, many people in the middle of the last century. Upon reflecting upon her childhood, she remembers how she was crippled and needed crutches, heavy crutches, and how she couldn't do things and her one arm was limited, and she felt like she was worth nothing. Each Sunday, she reflected, her mother sent her to Sunday school, and each Sunday, she asked her mother if she could wear her mother's very special locket, a dear possession of her mom's. And her mom let her do that. In adulthood, here's what she said about that. She said, "I wanted to wear that locket because I knew how much it meant to my mother. And I knew I was not worth coming back for, but I knew my mother would come and pick me up because I had the locket." What a tragic reflection of self-image. Not worth. But that's not truth. God created this lovable world, and that means you and you and you are lovable. One of my responsibilities as a pastor, whether I'm talking to individuals, in private, in gatherings, in worship, in small groups, one of my responsibilities is to be a living reminder to you through word and act that you are a lovable, worthy, capable child of God. That's my job, to remind you that each and every one of you are a lovable, capable, worthy child of God, no matter how much you've messed things up. No matter how much you've messed things up. Because this is a lovable world, and God so loved this world that he sent his son. The third thing that we remind ourselves about God and this world that God made is that God's intent is to save the world. It's a world worth saving. Here's how John put it in the gospel. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but rather that the world through him would be saved. The whole point of Jesus is to save the world. I love the synonym for save and salvation. It's deliver and deliverance. I believe it helps us broaden the understanding of God's intent. God's intent is to deliver us from our sins indeed, and to deliver us to heaven. But God's intent also is to deliver us from all the evils and all the wrongs and all the mistakes and all the darkness that consume us as we live this life. And by following Jesus, we are saved from those things, saved from that, saved for a life of abundant living, the way Jesus described it, a life of purpose and meaning and value and joy. That's the world God created, a world worth saving. One of the very best things I believe that Trinity Church did a number of years ago in our mission work was to respond to an appeal from some Christians in a village in India. It came through a parishioner at the time, and it was an appeal for some funds to build a church in their village. It was very seriously presented. All the way from India, we received handwritten drawings of what the architectural sketches would be. We received detailed estimates of what the costs would be. This congregation understood that if they were to receive money from a church that they had never had any contact with, they needed to help us see what they wanted to do. And we replied, and we said yes. And for simply $5,000 in those days, 20 years ago, we sent funds and then started receiving photos of the church being built, a humble church, perhaps 20 by 40 feet. One of the elders of that church sent a letter to us saying, "Thank you so much. Thank you, because all my life," and this man must have been 70 or 80, "I've only been able to worship outdoors under the trees in my village. But now we will have our own church." And they called it Trinity. And in a final picture we received of a completed building and a dedication, across the way was a Hindu temple, a dominant religion in India. And the church that we helped and God helped us to help them to build now stands as a far better alternative to God than Hinduism, and states to that community, Jesus Christ is real. People are finding salvation and being saved because of that church and its witness. This is a world that God wants to save, and everyone, every person is included. Someone wrote it this way. They said, "The hope of civilization is that we shall be able to produce enough Christ-like people to save it." And the church that we celebrate today, the worldwide church, is God's chosen instrument to assist God in that work. And you are a part of that. Friends, this is a wonderful and a good and a glorious world. A diverse world filled with beauty. A world worth loving because it is so lovable and all of its people. And a world worth saving and worth sacrificing for and worth giving to. That's the world that we're a part of and that we celebrate this day.